from love and pain and instead through it.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Five Aside. It's your boy Dalu and Obe Alpha. I said you traveled this weekend, we don't even hear from you.
Yeah, bro, man's was out in the streets trying to get this paper.
Out in the streets, I've been at work.
I did streets, bro. I did try to find paper, man.
Okay. Bro, when you say paper, that 20 things come to my mind, actually.
I bet go.
Hey, bro, were you still able to watch the games?
Yeah. I was able to see the Champions League game, the Madrid versus Bayern game, and then I watched Arsenal's game, of course. So, yeah, I was able to see a couple of the games. What about you? I'm sure you watched everything, yeah.
Of course, for sure. But that Madrid game, there's no much to say. We've seen this, like, I guess so many times now, to be honest. The only difference I would say is that unlike previous games where they did this year comeback rubbish, I would say for once I actually felt like they were the better team. Like, I didn't even have no complaints or anything like that.
Yeah.
The better team won. The team that actually came out to attack won.
They played better in that game.
The only annoyance would be just that last few minutes where this guy scored. The Bayern defender.
The lead
scored. And those referees messed up. That's the only annoyance. I'm like, wait, so this guy, can this guy just win a match without no controversy? Like, oh my God.
Yes, I get that point. But honestly, like, to be fair, because Bayern knocked us out, I know you had a different view, but me, I was like, fuck Bayern, man. Madrid should beat them because I didn't want these niggas to go win. I get your own ideology how you wanted them to win, Sha.
I know I wanted Bayern to win because they beat us, so I'll they probably beat us, yeah. They won the whole thing. But I'm still happy that it wasn't an easy game because those like stupid narratives of the best Arsenal team lost to the World Bank team, that is dead and gone. Because, they almost knocked out Madrid, Sef.
Mm-hmm.
So, they are clearly a very good team. And we didn't lose to Scraps.
Yeah. No, obviously. Like, I don't... Anyone that is saying... Those people that were chasing narrative, like, did they expect Arsenal to come back in the first season and just... I'll go and win the Champions League. I mean, it would have been nice, of course, but... That is like some miracle shit now. Who leaves the Champions League for 3-4 years and comes back and just smokes everybody all the way? Like, and we made it to the quarter. So, I think, honestly, I don't think Arsenal side would have been good enough to face Madrid right now. I don't even know.
I think we'd have given them a good game. They might have won. But I think it would have been a tough game.
Yeah, we have given them a good game. Obviously, but you know, I'm not walking in there saying, "Oh, Arsenal should claim Madrid or Arsenal should win this game." Like I would say for most Arsenal games,
I don't think it's a mental team for the most part. I don't think our team like was completely mentally ready for the Champions League yet or to fight up front the same degree. So I'm happy with their first shoe in this competition till next season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Like
I said, I feel like Madrid were actually better team this time, so they deservedly won. And those guys are mentality monsters, I would say that.
Bruh.
The only one different thing again is that, unlike the past, whatever, their savior this time was some rando.
Uzelu coming in to score 2 goals. That is also crazy, bruh.
That was a surprising bit, but the whole thing as a whole wasn't really surprising.
Yeah,
they've done it so many times against PSG. Even the mistake that Neuer made, Honestly, I think it's pressure. Donnarumma, Donnarumma did the same thing.
It's pressure.
His keeper did the same thing.
Yeah.
The whole Neuer did the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm. Watching them even play against Madrid, like, it was obvious they were scared. Especially at Bernabeu. Like, bruh. They were just packing the bus. This guy played two left backs. Sure. He played Mazzurri and he played Alfonso on the left wing too. Technically playing left back. So they were trying to pack the bus.
I think that was his tactic, but that was Tuchel's tactics. I wouldn't even say Bayern was scared, yeah. They were trying. The player didn't look scared. I think it's more.
Did you see Kimmich and Vini?
Vini was tearing my path now, but that's
but you know Kimmich is always on his P's. Like, Kimmich is a great right back, honestly. And this guy was cooking him. Like, I won't say a great right back in terms of, like,
defensively, maybe not defensively. I think he's known more for his passing range. They changed about to defensive midfielder now before.
No. I know. But defensively, like, in terms of, like, staying focused in the game, he's a good, like, this guy couldn't do shit against Kimmich now. None of our two guys could do shit against Kimmich. Trossard and
Martinelli.
Martinelli is on his wing. Martinelli be cooking some guys. As I saw, Martinelli couldn't run past Kimmich. I was shocked.
I feel like Martinelli is not confident right now. But I Vinny can cook anybody. I don't think it's just about Kimmich, to be honest.
Mm.
Vinny will cook most players. That's the difference, I would say, between him and Mbappe. Mbappe did much better than Mbappe in those different games. I think Mbappe is like a much better Martinelli in the sense that he does need space. If you just sit back against him, Vinny is better in tight spaces. He can break down low blocks easily because of his quick footed. He's also better in close controls. This guy depends a lot on his space. And he's just that slight change of pace. That's Mbappe for you. But Vinny has much better control of the ball. Like, he's a much better close corners dribbler than Mbappe. That's one thing I've noticed.
Yeah. But
a lot of times when you give this guy, like, you're like, okay, I do your thing. If you can't run at you that well, you pass back. He did that so many times against Dortmund. But if you see Vinny, Omo, he's running at you. The guy, Omo, he clearly trusted his skill and his ability versus Kimmich on the day.
Yeah, for sure. But one thing I will say about Mbappe, Sha, is that if you really watch PSG's games, a lot of those games, first off, they were forcing Mbappe to play strike for most of the game. And then maybe in the second half, maybe when they are trying to revamp something, then they will remove Bakola, bring in Gonzalo, and then ask Mbappe to go to the left wing. But for most of those games, he was trying to play Bakola, Mbappe, and Dembele.
The first leg, but the second leg, they put him on the left and they kept finding him. And so many times he disappoints me and not actually do anything with it.
Yeah. I think Mbappe, part of it is just maybe the guy is just done.
So you feel like he's just done. He just wants to go to Madrid.
Yeah,
I think he's about winning Champions League.
I mean, he will care about winning it. I think you also need to think about the quality of the defense that is behind him, or the quality of the other players that you're playing. Because, mind you or not, yeah, great player or not, you still need a great team around you. I'm not saying PSG is not a great team, but those guys seem to turn off sometimes. Like, look at what is his name, Zaire Emery. Like, there was one ball like this that Mbappe initially crossed, hit the bar. And then this thing came to this guy. This guy hit it to the bar again. And this Emery is somebody that is a generation. I would think that is a tapping for this guy, and he shot it to the bar. And then even Vitinha too. Vitinha, I don't know. I mean, Vitinha was actually playing very well.
I think Vitinha was their best player.
No, he was their best player. But part of it was, I think, he was just unlucky. Because he had a couple good strikes that I think
finishing-wise, they were all... That day was a very bad day for them.
It was not bad for them. So it's not as if... I don't think the same. Even Mbappe, he hit the bar twice. Like, it was just...
I'm not even talking about they could have scored on another day. I'm not saying, like, dominating a game. Vinny did what I thought Mbappe would do against Dortmund. Mbappe was quiet a lot for someone who... That's not what I expect from somebody that I'll name in the same category as the Messi, Ronaldo, and so what Vinny did. That's some prime name, almost prime name shit and everything. That's what I thought Mbappe would do.
Yeah, I guess I'll see Vinny versus Dortmund, because Dortmund is an interesting team. I'm not saying like Madrid probably still beat Dortmund. You know, they'll probably find other outlets to score. But that's one thing I know is the difference between Madrid and PSG, is that yes, Vinny carries the team a lot. When he goes to the left wing, when the ball is on the left wing, but when you account for the other players around him that the defenders have to track, they can't leave as many players free. Because you have Bellingham running in, you have Rodrigo running in, you know, you have all these quality other players. I'm not saying PSG doesn't have quality, but they definitely have their gaps, like in a couple of their positions.
What I noticed though, I feel like if you sit, Mbappe can shoot hot if you sit deep, but if you sit deep against him, you take away a lot of his dribbling ability.
You
see, unlike with Dembele or with Vinny, you see what Dembele was still doing, regardless of whatever defense he was, even though his decision making was still subpar, but he was still taking on guys, creating like space, creating attacking situations for PSG more than Mbappe was.
Dribbling, Vinny is a better dribbler, like carrying the ball, dribbling with the ball. Vinny will cook you any day.
Especially when defense is sit deep. Mbappe is good when defense is higher up and there's space in behind, which is part of the reason why I'd be having issues with Martinelli as well. But
I don't think that's even my issue with Martinelli. I think my issue with Martinelli is for his shooting to improve. But yeah, I see your point to there, sir.
But see, Mbappe, even if he can't really dribble that much, he can still find himself in like position to where shoot. He can still hurt you by just shooting.
He knows how to shoot.
His right foot, top corner, that's it. Like be quiet all game. Yeah, for sure. So he's still a danger regardless.
Yeah.
But when Martinelli is not on it, like this season he hasn't been on it finishing wise. Like he's looked mid, especially now that most defenses sit deep against Arsenal.
Yeah. I see that point definitely.
But anyway, we know the Champions League, so nothing concerns us. Right now, Dortmund versus Madrid for the finals. Me, I'm supporting the underdog. I'm supporting Dortmund.
No, obviously, you need to go with the underdog. Nobody wants Madrid to finish, you know.
You want Madrid to win now?
No, I wanted Madrid to beat Bayern.
If Madrid wins this thing, they better give that Ballon d'Or to Vinicius.
I didn't see. I mean, I saw Bellingham in the game. I'm in a cup, but you know, Vinicius was definitely better.
I'll say Vinicius is their best player right now, man.
Since
he came back from his injury. Since he came back from his injury, this entire year he's been their best player.
Oh yeah. He's been there, even Champions League talisman now. Yeah, he's starting Champions League this season, I think.
Anyway, let's come back to the Premier League. Yeah, did you see the Sky Sports Player of the Year award thing?
I think you told me about it that is it the one that Palmer is on? Watkins,
Palmer, Foden, Haaland, Isak, Odegaard, Rice, Van Dijk, and Watkins. Yeah. So, I see their logic, but I respect the PFA award, honestly, the one that players vote for themselves than this journalist thing, because this one's usually going hype based on like who players who are most popping. So I'm not that surprised I didn't see. Like, I'm really annoyed that, like, I think it's still weird. I don't think this has ever happened before where the most prolific attacker in a team is not part of the award.
It's kind of weird. You're talking in terms of Saka.
Yep. That's gonna be weird.
Bro, I've been telling you this thing since in terms of Saka. Like
I think it's just because of like hype, honestly. Because
it's not hype though. I don't think it's hype.
I think if there's anything, Saka has hype. No. This season, I feel like guys been getting way more criticism and hate than normal.
Because he has gotten all the hype This is how hype works, right? At least I think hype, you know, you get your hype from the previous season. Saka has had his hype last season. I won't say this is breakout season or anything. He's had his hype. Last season, he was our most consistent player. But when you now get that hype, there will be more scrutiny looking at you. Like, if you look at Palmer now, this is breakout season now. Everybody's Palmer, Palmer. I bet you next season, if Palmer does less than what he did this season, people will start forming, oh, this guy's overrated. That is the same situation you're having with Saka right now.
That's, yeah, that's what I'm
people,
saying.
People already put you on that expectation.
I think that's worse.
If you deliver that expectation, whether or not, oh, you're slightly off. No, they've already hyped you. Like, you've already gotten the hype train to get put in the in those names right now. So you need to pull off a better number, or even at least the same numbers. And I don't think his numbers this season are bad, honestly.
His numbers, he's better than he was last season. But I think the hype...
His numbers this season are better?
Oh, hell yeah. He has surpasses last season. And I think his hype has set hot teams for next time because of the expectations, like you said. Also, I think one unfortunate thing is that honestly, Arsenal is a very good team. There are many good performers in Arsenal right now. Not just team. But I think a lot of people also have a lot of recency bias. Especially like I personally think Odegaard has been our best player since the second half of the season. But the first half of the season, I would say Saka was our best player. At least in terms of productivity. Those times we are struggling against the many games where he scored just the one goal, the winning goal, when they say Arsenal wasn't performing well, but we're still winning. It was the ones basically just almost dragging us along in the first half of the season. He scored a lot of winning goals for us. But since we started playing well, Odegaard's form has also improved as well. It feels like the man they have forgotten, fam. Like, damn, bro. It's a bit hurtful.
I don't think they've forgotten or whatnot. Me, like, no. I've always had this opinion. Like, I watch soccer, and you know, I think part of it is the fact that I play. Maybe you don't probably play as much as I do anymore. But the fact that I play day to day, like, it's like I know players that are like soccer, and soccer is a quality player. But when I watch, like, when you watch somebody that is beautiful on the ball, it's Odegaard that you give that award to.
No, that's no doubt.
Huh?
That's no doubt. I don't disagree that Odegaard is better on the ball.
That's the reason why me, I always say, like, Odegaard. Like, I have nothing against, like, Saka's numbers. Saka is a very good right winger. The reason is not on the PFA, I'm not sure, honestly. I guess it's because, like, those other people that are there, to be fair, their numbers are more than Saka's numbers. If you look at Watkins' numbers this season, they are more. Yeah. Watkins' numbers are non-penalty numbers. Saka has a lot of his goals are penalty goals. So,
But you can say the same about Palmer.
Palmer's numbers are way more than Saka's.
Most of them are penalty. Take out the penalty.
Yeah, but they are more. They both play penalties. When you put two people that play penalties, and Palmer's is more. In that case, with Palmer,
it's like four goals apart.
Hey, four goals apart is not only being so.
My point is that if you make me, I'll remember the seasons, like, let's say with Sanchez. Sanchez outscoring, outperforming Hazard with 11 penalties. And because we are eight, they will not nominate my guy or Aubameyang. See how the post keeps shifting every time when he's asked now.
Yeah.
I'll easily remember Oba winning top scorer and not being part of this. That's some weird shit.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. I think Saka is definitely one of our best players this season. But I know you can have up to three Arsenal players there. Right. And I know Rice being part of the our new additions and performing at the level he's performing, you'll definitely be there. And Odegaard also being the captain and one of the best players in this end of the season.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what I would say is that I think Saka doesn't look that flashy enough, which kind of works against him. But so people tend to like overlook his still very consistent productivity. Bayern game for the recent games, you still be scoring important goals, giving important assists, but always goes under the radar. And the biggest omission is Rodri. That's so disrespectful.
Oh, Rodri. The fact that he's not Rodri. I don't even know Rodri is there.
Not part of the nominees.
Yeah. That is just...
And Van Dijk is there.
I don't even know the four. That Van Dijk shit is one thing I've not understood in the I mean, initially they were saying nobody dribble past him now. But now, since injury, Liverpool has been chucking goals. They've been drinking goals.
Saliba is not there and Van Dijk is there.
He's not there.
You see, this guy's post is they're taking the piece at this point, bro.
Yeah, that is like, pure foolishness. I don't know. They really be sucking when that is dick, so I'm not surprised about them. They are players that they be.
Like, see, Haaland has been good, but he's not been as good as usually. I get Foden, but I would easily swap out Rodri for Haaland.
Let's be fair. I gotta start giving Haaland his props, right?
I think he's one of the best strikers in the world. I think he's the second
best striker in the world.
I'll put him second.
Huh?
I'll put Kane above him.
I will put Kane above him. You know, previous seasons, I'll put Kane above him. This season, I don't know. Kane just looked a little like he's getting old. I think next season.
The top scorer in Europe is getting old right now.
You will see how fast his downfall will be. The way Kane plays in Bayern, I think his play style in Bayern, like, it suits him now. But Bayern can't win they can't win the trophies that they want playing that way. And I think his performance, because they heavily rely on Kane's performance. Like, not in all their games. Yes, they have Musiala. But they always try to play through Kane at times, and it works against them. And once Kane leaves, it's like they just look like they don't know what they are doing. So
I get your point. But that I wouldn't put that. It's because of how good Kane is, though, that they will rely on him.
Right. That's true.
The reason I'll criticize both of themselves is that in those key games, those main games, I don't see need of the two. So the same thing I can criticize Haaland for, the same thing I can criticize Kane for.
That's fair. So, well, I think.
I mean, in Haaland's case, they'll say he's doing the intangibles, he's taking defenders away. In Kane's case, I can say the same thing too.
Which intangibles is Kane doing?
See what Kane did with us? He's not doing anything, but they say he was disturbing, what's his name? Gabriel and Saliba.
I think Kane would disturb a team that isn't trying to play a low block.
Rudiger too. He'll be dragging you around. I mean, all strikers do that. So I actually hate when people bring that up, because if you're in the box, you do that and you're big.
Kane seems like he had way less. And maybe it is because I didn't watch some of the matches live.
He drags centre backs around. That's one of the things that I'll credit. But I don't like talking about that, because if you're a big striker, no center back will just let you be, except you're very useless.
Right. But the reason why I'm just like, I gotta give Haaland his props is because that guy, he's been, at least let's forget Champions League. We're talking Premier League now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and now with the opinion that Premier League is not obviously the best league in the world. So
it's
obviously not the best league, like, in terms
besides this season. I was saying in the past 5 years, I think it is, sure. Maybe this season might have been a small
this season, like, from the Champions League games that I watched, I think Premier League is overhyped. Premier League is definitely overhyped, because, like, and I've been saying these things, like, even when we see teams like Atletico, Arsenal can probably beat them, you know, if we come out good. But only, like, a handful of Premier League teams can beat some teams in Spain. Like, only a handful. And let's not even forget, like, even if they play 5 games, I'm still pretty sure that these Atletico teams, they have quality that is not overhyped. Anybody that they call that is quality there, all these Griezmann, those niggas are wicked.
You watch Olympiacos Aston Villa. That match shocked me, man. They destroyed. They swept the floor with Aston Villa. We beat us 3-0.
That's what I'm saying. Like, bro, like, all these Premier League, all these English players, bro, they go against, you know, Portuguese players, Greek players, and, bro, these guys are cooking them. Like, I'm just like, that's why Haaland, like, these are records that is shattering in Premier League. I think he will continue doing that. That's why I'm saying he's a beast. Like, let's forget Champions League. In Premier League.
Haaland is a beast, 100%. I'm not saying this season, Sha. I think Rodri has been the most important player.
I don't think
Man City misses Haaland as much as they miss Rodri. I don't get it.
No, obviously. Obviously, like.
And this guy,
in Man City, Rodri is their most important player. But it doesn't take away. Yeah, and the fact that Rodri didn't, that's crazy. It's crazy. Because this season, Haaland has been, he has missed a lot of games this season. Not like a lot, yeah, but he has missed a couple games, like to injury, to substitutions, to all those things. And this guy is still the top scorer. How?
No, see, as a striker, you cannot, you can, no one can talk down on Haaland's ability to score.
See, you know, so, yeah. That guy, he's little, like...
He's a robot, he's a goal scoring machine, for sure.
He's a goal scoring machine. I'll give him that, so... But yeah, Rodri should be on that PFA list, for sure.
Anyway, do you think Leverkusen is the greatest team of all time?
I'm starting to think that, though, because it's like, those guys don't want to lose. Like, I think they play very... I think Leverkusen is one of those teams, too, that they have really quality players that are just underrated. And that's another thing that I'm saying.
We'll start to know about them in the coming years, for real. Like,
yes, but think about it. See what they have to do. Because this guy, Frimpong, I think Frimpong is a what they call it, is a genetic freak. Which I think that guy is a genetic freak too. So I think they have a couple of those players that they don't just come out as much because they're in German League as compared to, you know, Cole Palmer in Premier League. I don't see anything special in Cole Palmer. He was a regular guy. But Premier League would swear that Cole Palmer is the greatest right winger right now. So it's like,
I saw, you see, Frimpong, like, it was in 98 minutes against these guys, against Roma. This guy kind of burst of space on the right wing.
He's a freak, bro.
Massive pressure. I'm like, I thought the ball was going to go out for corner. For goal kick, he still crossed it. I'm like, jeez, that's some Mbappe level stuff.
That guy is a freak, bro. And he's a right back, always name. Even that Grimaldo that is on their team, too. That guy, too, is another freak. Even Xhaka, I think Xhaka, too, is one of those people.
Xhaka is good. I mean, Xhaka was, last season, confirmed Xhaka, we asked now. Like, I was like, okay, yeah, this guy's good as shit.
Like,
I think he was on the right. Okay. But these boys, and Xabi alone keeps rotating. I'm like, how many players do they have? Well, honestly, when you rotate, you can tell the difference because every time they do that comeback, you bring in their main guys towards the end of the second half and collide.
Yeah.
I'm like, nah, that team is something else. They will lose eventually, though, but...
I mean, if they lose eventually, that is... But they've actually gone beyond all... You know it's not just fun.
Honestly, as an Arsenal fan, I'll put their achievements above Invisibles, to be honest.
Even Arsenal said all these things that we're doing right now is very declared invisible. But it's just that we're not going unbeaten.
Yep, because that... No, I'm just comparing the unbeaten seasons. I still think that Arsenal... It's crazy, but... Being unbeaten the whole season.
They're still in Europa now. When is Europa final?
Yeah, oh, I think these fans are unbeaten in the whole season, not just the league.
Yeah.
Would you say that's the greatest achievement of like all time overall?
Yes, I don't know why people are trying to downplay their treble. If they do win the treble, they are trying to downplay it because it's not Champions League. Honestly, I mean, I'm not saying Champions League and Europa is the same thing, obviously. But Europa is not just beans. You know, we have teams like Man U, they've been there and they keep
I think
them
it was beans before, but I don't think it's beans anymore.
Europa is not beans anymore. Even if you're a big team, even Liverpool, wasn't Liverpool in there? Didn't they fire them?
Yeah.
Wasn't the Atlanta?
I still them. Do. Atlanta might beat this by because they know.
Yeah.
I won't be surprised, I won't lie. They're actually good.
But, Omar, if Bayern Leverkusen should win this, I'm going to give them their props, man. Like,
I'll be honest, my opinion is probably the greatest achievement I would have witnessed, given like, I mean, they're not a small team, yeah. It's not like they're Leicester. But being unbeaten in all competitions for a whole season. Guy, even my football manager game, I never do it.
Yeah. It's even football manager. Even without your cheating, you never still do that one.
Like not losing a single game. All competitions.
Yeah.
Nah, that's crazy. That's crazy. I mean, of course, someone can top it by doing it in Champions League. But right now,
I don't even think anyone can really do that in Champions. Like, I mean, yeah, if you win Champions League.
And win you every game.
In your league and win everything.
Yeah. That will top this. But
right now, this is the greatest,
And also, this is not like a super, super team like MSN.
It's not like any nobody gave them that.
This is that Javi Alonso, he has the standard is very high. But you know what the bad thing about having your standard so high is, is it to crash it, man.
Like, but I think regardless, like standard or not, as the like class, if you're a class manager, regardless of even if you don't, even if it goes to another team, doesn't go and beat him, you'll still
need to go to my reacher. You can't go to a Man U where you unless he really believes he can turn Man U into Leverkusen, okay, that's different. But you cannot go to that kind of team. Go to like the Madrid, because even Liverpool after Klopp, following up after Klopp is difficult. I mean, he's not going there, but that would have been.
I think Liverpool is in shambles right now.
You should just wait, buy this time, and go to Madrid. That would be my advice to him, because Carlo won't stay there forever. Mm. What's Carlo do? He's about to win that Champions League.
Oh, it's crazy, bro.
Probably the greatest Champions League manager of all time.
Mm-hmm. Easy. That guy just knows his way with Champions League. Like, Carlo, that is high like this guy. He'll just make certain substitutions and they'll just combine. It's crazy, bro. Like,
He was talking about something that made me think of that Ten Hag stuff. That Man United. He was like that this team in Madrid is probably the best he's had in terms of like players to work with. Like, he doesn't even have to do much. Like, they know what to do. They understand what they need to do all the time. Like, he doesn't really need to argue with them, or doesn't have. They're not the kind of players who could be confronting you and whatnot. That they are very easy to work with. Doesn't have to do much. I was like, I just remember Sancho and Man U and all this Ten Hag stuff. And when the conversation I was having, like, Valu, I get, like, of course, manager will always bear the brunt and everything, but I think he also works hand in hand. A very good manager can just be in the wrong place, to be honest. Like, Carlo, for all his man-managing skills, he struggled with Bayern Munich's squad.
I think, first of all, Bayern is a special case, but from what I've heard, like, from the player, Asha, with Carlo, he's, like, the best manager in
terms. No, he's the best manager.
You know. So with that being said, it's like I know Bayern is like they have a cult within their team. You know, they have certain players, you know, they have the Mullers, they have those niggas that are just there and they are pretty much deployed. And regard if they don't like the manager, man, fuck their manager, man. So I don't think Madrid is that same way. I think Madrid players are still more what they call the name. They fight for Madrid regardless. And
they are not the kind of people to like do anything that will tarnish Madrid
because of their own. Like, regardless of what the fuck happens, Madrid comes first, you know.
Fact.
So it's not about I want to play, this one. They all understand that if I'm not playing, it's because I'm not the best.
Bayern is a special case where they have like that kind of like frat kind of cult with the Mullers and the OGs there. Even Kimmich, that's questioning Tuchel.
Really, Kimmich too. You have those guys that will be questioning the manager and like it's just, I don't know.
Because this was when Guardiola left, so they were still in that kind of tiki-taka, that philosophy they stayed, and then Carlo came and there was a clash of philosophies and the player didn't fuck with his tactics and he was too lax and everything. Imagine players in no good coaching school, they question me. We don't coach AC Milan. But you know, also notice Man U also has some squad problems too.
Yes.
Like, Man U has tarnished so many reputations. That's why I find it hard to actually completely judge a team. Judge a manager when they go to a team like PSG or Man U or Bayern times.
To be fair, I'm not blaming Man's downfall on Ten Hag. Like, I love it. I love everything that's
happening them
right
sure.
now. So, you know, whatever happens, Ten Hag should stay. And that's mine.
Because one thing I've noticed though, managers who leave like teams like Man U, Chelsea and PSG, it doesn't really affect their reputation. You know why? Because I think the full football world understand that those places are weird places to go.
Yeah.
See, Poch left after all the he cannot break club, he cannot do. He still got a big job. It didn't really affect
him. Yeah, it's like the highest paid or second highest paid manager in Prem now.
Yep. Like, people still remember him for what he did at Tottenham, not what he did at PSG. Mm-hmm. PSG is a case where, you know, like,
PSG just was in shambles. Like, they need work in their board.
But at the end of the day, you need to create the right environment for these managers to thrive. That's the fact.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's move on from that. No, be our business. United versus Arsenal.
United versus Arsenal is just.
I'll be honest. That's one of the weirdest games I've watched in a while.
I swear.
I wasn't worried that they'll score, but I was like, what are we doing?
Same. Like, I was like, why is Man U looking so. Like, Man U actually looked decent in that game. Look at. They look like they had an idea of what they wanted to do, at least. Which is not.
Ten Hag must really hate Arsenal because I don't understand. Even the first game, that 3-1, that game was tough too. Bro. Surprisingly.
Yes.
In the Emirates.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a Ten Hag thing. I think it's a Man U thing. I think those players, they always want to.
I think he set them up well this time. They were not as porous in their midfield as usual. But what I'm confused at is it. Because I noticed Amrabat kept entering and supporting them. Like, they had numbers in midfield as opposed to us. We just had those two people in midfield. They had more numbers than us. I wasn't surprised they had more possession. But I don't know if it's because of their tactics or the Arsenal actually just wanted to sit back.
Yeah, I think Arsenal was being cautious in that game. Even then, no, I think Arteta was being cautious. Because I think Arteta knew that if Man U went up a goal,
mm-hmm.
the kind of boss that they will park in their goal would be crazy.
Mm-hmm. I think we're also sitting deep to completely destroy any chance of transition, because that's the only, maybe similar to that Chelsea game as well, that's the only threat that both teams have
is that
threat in transition. So if they don't have it, they had more position than us, but they couldn't really create anything meaningful with it.
Yeah.
Every time they actually had it looked like a threat was when this idiot was running on the left wing. What's this boy's name?
Garnacho.
Garnacho.
Yeah, Garnacho. Garnacho wanted to look threatening at some point. But then later he started to look like Antony. I was like, all right, but
he was not. They didn't have any reasonable output. No, just run.
He just run. He just wanted to run and just get to that place and hopefully get the shot off. And then I think the highlight of that match for me was when Antony came on as a sub, bro.
God, that guy is the clown. And Antony is the clown. What was that?
Oh, bruh. Antony thinks he's the shit. And what is crazy is that this guy has only one goal this season. Like, one Premier League goal.
But that guy acts like one kind of funny anime character.
He can be real. He's like, I think he's the pure definition of a NPC. Like, someone that is scripted as fuck. Antony is scripted as fuck. Because you remember that video of him when he was complaining to the ref too and he was packing him. Mm-hmm. Like, he looks so fucking animated, bro. Like, he was like this. I just, bro, I was doing the weirdest shit, bro. I'm like, what is always wrong with this guy? He's like, he thinks it's him. Like, once they are just playing it in
his head. I didn't understand what he was doing. I won't lie. I was like, guy, this guy might not come out score, but like, I was like, no. I just feel like whoever is scripting this world will not allow him to score because he's a clown.
For real, bro. Like, Antony had that whole script written in his head and it was just crazy.
He made the face like, he's going to come and save
the
day.
Face like, he's going to come cook these niggas, bro. Like, I was like, get the fuck out of here, boy. Nah.
Oh, okay, Garnacho, he did his best in trying to recreate Vinny versus Kimmich because Ben White struggle handling him, to be honest. I'm gonna be honest. Yeah, he actually be cooking, but he was cooking Ben White a lot.
Yeah, I think part of that is that's part of my thing with all these extra systems. Like,
but they didn't bother double marking him too.
So they left him alone with Ben White one, and then Ben White is a slow left back. Like, when you start having those pace battles, so the person with pace seems like they will always win more times than not. Yeah. So that's why
he wasn't sitting on his ass though. They didn't make him, they embarrassed him like the way they embarrassed Amrabat.
Oh,
You cook him, you try and run back to cover. Yes. Even though Shalinda found space. Mm. Well, I think maybe Arteta found that like a risk worth taking. Like, yeah, this guy might not do anything anyway. He will run. You still crush rubbish. So.
Yeah, I think the fact that Saliba was on his side helped, because Saliba was always covering for Ben White.
Yeah, facts.
So,
but he actually made me nervous a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, Garnacho is a good player. Like,
if he was cross better, this thing would have been very dangerous.
Yeah,
if he could actually, if he can improve his output, his decision making, like around the final third, he would be very dangerous. He can be very dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah. This is the first time
I'm probably experiencing us beating Man U home and away.
Like, and it's so like, I don't know why Man U fans, they are now very quiet. Not seeing no Man U fans outside anymore. I don't be hearing nobody wearing Man U. Like, it's just so funny, bro.
Yeah, school would have been fun.
Now Man U fans just act like, oh, we don't even want soccer anymore. Rubbish.
Anyway, though, City versus Spurs. Hopefully, do you have any hope?
I don't like going into. I can't have hope for Spurs. I mean, I have to be hopeful, obviously, because that's a. I mean, the Hammers, West Ham. They said they will still do it. They are trying to fight for Europe soon.
Yeah, those guys look awful.
So maybe Hammers can do it, even if Spurs don't do it. But Spurs right now, I think if anything, Shad. Is a team like Spurs that will beat them. That will beat Man City. So, but I just feel like that game can go both ways. It can go that Spurs will show out, or they can just knock Spurs like 2 goals very early, and Man City will just.
I look at see a high scoring game.
Yeah,
I see a high scoring game. Part of me feels like Spurs might go for it. You know, they still have a chance of actually getting that Champions League spot.
Yeah, I thought, let me look at the table.
I don't think I can bet against Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace is playing on Aston Villa in the last game of the season. So Spurs would be dumb as fuck if they actually just throw away this opportunity. Because see Palace beating Aston Villa in the last day of the season.
For sure. This is Aston Villa,
FN. If Spurs win Man City and win their last game, that's fourth.
Is it? Yeah, if they can win both games, yeah.
Yep, and then these guys lose to Palace.
But they have to lose. If they draw to Palace, they will still make fourth.
Of course, but
that's why I wanted them to lose today.
Who has the balls to bet against Odyssey and Eze now?
Those guys. Anybody that is buying either of them, just buy both of them.
For real.
Just buy both of them.
Buy one, get one free.
Yeah.
These guys just do a deal. 120 million for one and get it.
And get the other one for free. That is what they should do, bro. Because if you can get those two guys on your team, you have the perfect sub combination. Even if you don't even want them to start, like, oh, just bring the two of them off the bench and tell them to cook.
They are both quality us for this thing. If they can actually stay at Palace low key, and Palace is a good team.
Yes. Like, I'm looking at their full team. They just need to. Games. I mean, they have a couple places. They need to revamp their midfield. They need, one or two more midfielders and a couple more defenders. But besides that,
Wharton is good, yeah.
Who?
Wharton boy.
Wharton, yeah. It's a good DM. I think, yeah, that's what he plays for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then this Matete guy. The guy is not a bad finisher. He's been popping.
He's actually been popping, though.
Yeah.
But the guy is like all this kind of legacy Premier League guy that does come and be balling like... Maybe 15 goals.
15 goals. Like, he will give you his 15 goals against the small guys, you know.
Emile Heskey.
Mm-hmm. He has that build, bro. Just be, just run. Find a way to place you. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm happy for Palace at least, because they were struggling this season without those two niggas, bro.
Yep. Well, I predict Spurs will get results.
We need them to either win or draw now.
Yeah, I think they'll get results. They're not losing tomorrow.
If they do this for Arsenal, bro. Yeah,
I'll buy a Spurs jersey.
Will I not buy my ticket to London? I might buy a ticket to London tomorrow. Let me look at how much you should. Guy.
Oh my goodness, bro. I'll be so happy. Hey. Well, the worst thing that can happen is if Spurs actually beat City. And that's my Ashash Grande.
No, that one, I will probably stop supporting.
No, that was worse than
that. I'll be worse, bro.
Yeah. At least last season there was still so much time. You could say, okay, yeah, you have lost guy. If all we need to do is just beat Everton, guy, that's like Dortmund last season, bro. No, guy, that's worse than that because just one game to win the league.
One. Bro. But to be fair, that is some shit that Everton can come and kill you on.
Guy, but no. That one, I can see. Last season, I was still defending Arsenal in the sense of the fact that most of our players got really exhausted. Like, we didn't have a bench. But this season, you're telling that you have one game to win the whole league. One game. And it's Everton you're playing.
Everton.
One game to win. Guy, you die on the line, dear. You can't, you. Bro.
I'm on.
Nah, you can't mess up. You're better than Everton. You cannot lose that game. One game to win the league.
It looks like
that, that was like what Dortmund did last season. They're playing against the team that was last.
Bottom team won. Now. And they still lost. Those guys, they didn't even have anything to fight for. They were already relegated.
I'm telling you, bro. Like, Everton is not a bad team, but still, you're in the Emirates.
The reason why I'm just saying Everton is that. The reason why I'm looking just. I mean, obviously, we should beat Everton. But Everton, like, defensively, they've been pretty good. That Brothwaite guy.
I know.
They've been pretty, and Dukuru and all those, they are freaking Vikings that they just pack at the back. Those niggas would break your leg. All this Tarkowski.
But see, nobody there with Chelsea wipes 6-0, still up 5-0.
No, that's the thing. Everything against that Chelsea, I think teams that Chelsea have flogged this season like that, they underestimated Chelsea.
Maybe.
I think plenty. Bro, you should have watched that game. Everton was playing like Chelsea were the underdogs. They were trying to get that point against Chelsea, and then Chelsea just shocked them. So Chelsea, I think you need to know how you're playing with them. Because
I mean, I saw them. I think flow against Liverpool. They destroyed Liverpool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're a difficult team, but if we're the best team in the league, and that's the only match that we need to win to win,
Because even if these niggas draw tomorrow, we're already in.
Yeah, but so it's winning. I won't lie, Sha. Look, I'd rather face West Ham than Everton.
You rather face West Ham than
Everton?
I might depend, though. But yeah, West Ham right now.
West Ham will beat 5-0.
Yeah, West Ham right now is in one shit. Yeah. That they are parking bus shit is dead.
And these guys are better parking the bus than West Ham.
Yeah, Everton, they are better than parking the bus. Parking the bus than West Ham. Guess we'll decide tomorrow, man. I mean, at the end, they still have Everton, but yeah, Man City will kill Everton. But
anyway, do.
Yeah.
I think that's all we have for today.
Yep. We'll hope for the best tomorrow. Anyway,
we'll reconvene and see how our predictions went, maybe this Friday.
Yeah.
All right. Hopefully, Tottenham gives us a result.
That'll be the best gift to Arsenal.
Anyway, it was nice talking to you, Ope.
Yeah, likewise.
Yeah, and thanks, guys, for listening. And make sure you keep tuning in to Five Aside. We'll make sure to keep delivering the best football content for you guys and talking about this sport that we all love and cherish.
All right,
guys.
Safe. Bye.
When I'm lying in my bed, thoughts running through my head, Bartolino is dead. I'm loving big and distant.